Okay, testing. Wow, first time. All right, we have a whole new batch of youth growing up in the church right about now. And when it comes to making insurance claims, people say and do some strange things. It's particularly true in the case of auto accidents. Folks are always embarrassed about accidents, particularly one-car accidents. They look for ways to suggest that it was someone else's fault, not their own. Sometimes they do this to make their claim look better. Other times it's nothing, has nothing to do with money. It's just their embarrassment. So someone went through and collected a whole bunch of phrases that were on insurance claims. Here's a couple of them. Coming home, I drove into the wrong house and collided with a tree I do not have. the other car collided with me without giving warning of its intentions. I thought my window was down, but I found it was up when I put my hand through it. I collided with a stationary truck coming the other way. Think about that one for a minute. A pedestrian hit me and went under my car. The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I hit him. I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed over the embankment. Sorry. That's why I was laughing during offering. In an attempt to kill a fly, I drove into a telephone pole. I'd been shopping for plants all day and was on my way home. As I reached an intersection, a hedge sprang up, obscuring my vision. I did not see the other car. Here's one for some of the older drivers. I had been driving for 40 years when I fell asleep at the wheel and had an accident. As I approached the intersection, a stop sign suddenly appeared in a place where no stop sign had ever appeared before. I was unable to stop in time to avoid the accident. To avoid hitting the bumper in the car in front of me, I struck the pedestrian. Self-inflicted pain is the worst, right? My car was legally parked. It backed into the other vehicle. An invisible car came out of nowhere and struck my vehicle and vanished. I told the police that I was not injured, but on removing my hat, I found that I had a fractured skull. Ouch. I was sure the old fellow would never make it to the other side of the road when I struck him. Oh, man. Okay. The pedestrian had no idea which direction to run, so I ran him over. I better quit. And if you're wondering why, some of you are wondering why I found some of those kind of funny, it's because I've been working nights all week. So right now, just about anything is funny. All right. It is... it's good to be here again. Appreciate you folks showing up on a Sunday morning. And here we are in, coming up on late September, well, mid-September, coming down towards the end of 2014. Isn't that something? Wow. 2014. Who would have believed that 2014 years later we'd still be waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to return? Amen? I mean, how many of us remembered or were convinced he was going to show up 20 years ago, 30 years ago? But here we are, 2014. And you know, time just keeps rolling on. And things just keep happening. And you just keep having to make decisions and choices in your life one day after the next. And it seems like it's a never-ending process. And I just like to ask you this morning, simple message here this morning. But a simple question is this. Have you just ever stopped to consider what's next? I mean, we've been rolling on this thing, and for those of you that have been saved for some time, we've been rolling for years and years waiting for the Lord to come back. And, you know, it's like I said, some of us 20, 30 years ago thought he was going to return, and we were convinced that that was the case. And the Lord's tarried for him just a brief moment. But for us, it seems like a long time. And what if the Lord tarries for just, you know, half a brief moment longer? What's next for you? what is next for you? Have you ever stopped to consider just what is next? I know that if you're saved here this morning, you're looking forward to the rapture. But what's next in life before that happens? Where will you be in 3 months from now? What will you be doing 3 years from now if the Lord tarries that long? Now, if you're here this morning and you're lost, that is, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'd kind of like to ask you the same question. That is just simply this. Where will you be in 3 months from now? How about 3 years from now? You have any idea? If you're lost here this morning, where will you be 300 years from now? I know where I'll be 300 years from now. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you ever stop and think and just give a little bit of consideration as to where you'll actually be 300 years from now? Because you'll be somewhere. Open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 14, if you would. Matthew chapter 14. I know it's in here somewhere. There it is. I'm going to read a familiar passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 14. Let's go down. We'll pick it up and we'll start in about verse 21. 20. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. You remember that story? So this is just feeding the 5,000 has just happened. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. In verse 22 it says this, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Now, our Heavenly Father, we come before you one more time here on a Sunday morning. And Lord, it is good to be saved. It is good to be here, have opportunity to hear the Word of God preached once again. I do pray that you would set this vessel aside and use the words of your book. And Father, some of the thoughts that you've helped run through my head to minister to these folks that are here this morning. I do pray especially that if there's somebody here who's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that, Father, they would realize what an important decision that is, and, Father, just how, how imminent your return really is. We've been waiting for a long time, and we know you're coming back soon. So just bless what we do here this morning. Pray that it would all be to your praise and your honor and your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we have the story of Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples, and they just, again, fed the 5,000, took up the fragments, and here the Lord basically looks over at the disciples after this has gone on, and he tells them, okay, you guys go get in the ship and take off. I'm going to hang out here for a little while and take care of the multitude and get them gone. Now, this isn't an actual point of the message, but I found it kind of interesting as I was going through here. And let's look back at verse 22. And verse 22 says this, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship." Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. And I've read over that, time and time and time again and never really thought much about it. After he fed the 5,000, he turned and he constrained his disciples to get in the ship. And I thought, I kind of thought I knew what that word meant, but what does it really mean? So I looked it up, and constrained, it is to compel or force, especially by persuasion, by circumstances, to oblige. It is constrained. It is forced to act or behave in a particular way. It is to use pressure to force someone to do something. It's to it is to force by imposition, by being imposed. It's to force or produce an unnatural or strained manner. That is, the Lord, Lord looked at the disciples and said, hey, you guys up there, get down out of that tree, get them apples, and get out of here. You remember that? Some of you have been around for a long time, remember that joke. I won't go through it because I don't remember the whole joke, but it was kind of funny. But in plain English, listen, he turned to the disciples and he made them get in the ship. And, I got a trivia. Let's see here. My notes are all goofed up here. No. In plain English, he made them get in the ship. Listen, you've been put down here on this planet to live your life. Amen? And in effect, the Lord has constrained you down here. You didn't ask to be born. A lot of you didn't ask for some of the circumstances that you're facing right now in life. A lot of you didn't, maybe some of them were produced because of decisions you made in the past, but a lot of times you find yourself in a position where, you're in the middle of something and the world's kind of crumbling or falling apart around you, and you look out and you don't see any way out. You see trouble and you go, Lord, why? Well, here in Matthew 14, the Lord constrained those disciples. You see, he didn't give them any choice. He got through feeding the 5,000. He stayed on the shore. He says, you guys right here, you go over and you get in that ship. Now, you know what's coming in just a few minutes here in the ship. But he constrained them to go on that ship. And sometimes you may feel like that in life. You may feel like the Lord stuck you in a place and he's put you down here and he's constrained you to be here. And you know what's getting ready to come a little while later. Amen? He constrained them. Listen, my God knows the storms that you have had to face in your life, and he knows the storms that you're in the middle of right now, and he knows the storms that you have yet to face. Some of you may sit back and look at your lot in life and you may say, that's not fair. God, why'd you do this to me? I didn't deserve this. What did I do? But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ certainly had a plan for his disciples that day. You know, he knew what he was doing. When he constrained them to get in that ship, he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew exactly what they needed. And he knew exactly what the outcome was going to be. But he still constrained them to get in that ship. And you know what? I mean, tongue in cheek, I say it this way, but I bet some of you that are feeling kind of constrained and like the Lord's throwing you in a place that you can't handle or that you don't want to be or that you're not satisfied with, I bet the Lord has a plan for you too. You may not see it yet. It may not be fully evident. But just like with those disciples, the Lord had something bigger in mind. The Lord had something grander in mind. The Lord knew where those disciples were going to be in 3 months, in 3 years. In 300 years. Amen? And he constrained them. 2 Samuel 22:31 just simply says this. It says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Psalm 18 says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Psalm 118 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And probably the most well-known verse, almost every kid learns it in Sunday school early on, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Listen, the Lord's really good sometimes at constraining us into some situations. And we don't see Peter and James and John, those folks had no clue what was ahead of them. They said, okay, Lord, get in the ship. They headed to the ship. This is the part I was looking for earlier in my notes. But, Dave, what's your middle name? I'm sorry, what?
Alan.
Okay. So, I can imagine. This is the scene here. Lord gets through feeding the 5,000. Hey, Dave, why don't you go get in the ship? Lord, our work's not done here. I got all these people. We got these fragments. What? Dave, go get in that ship. But Lord, are you sure you really want me to go get in that ship? David Allen? About that time, David knows he's got to get in the ship, right? So he constrained them to get in the ship. Listen, he's put you in the ship. You know, let me ask you just simply, hey, what's going on in your ship? I mean, we look and we see the problems. We look and we see the troubles. We look and we see sometimes the discouragements and the fears that we have. But it's hard for us to look past that to figure out, okay, what's the Lord actually doing? And why am I in the ship? And what's going to come out of it in the end? Where am I going to be 3 months, 3 years, 300 years from now? Take a look back at our text in verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Okay? And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Somebody tell me, what time is evening? About 6? Okay, 6 o'clock in the evening, right? When evening was come, he was there alone. Evening, no problem. The guys are already on the ship now. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. 6 in the evening, right? Tossed with waves. The wind is contrary. You understand those disciples, 6, 7, 8 o'clock, whatever, in the evening. Those disciples are out there on the ship. The winds are coming up. It's contrary. They're trying to get back. They're rowing, but the wind's blowing them back out. They're having a tough time. And they're afraid right about now. 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the evening, whatever. You know, take your pick. Take a look at verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, when's the fourth watch of the night? Probably sometime about after 3 in the morning, right? Ever think about that? The Lord sends the disciples on the ship. You go. No doubt about it. He constrains them. In other words, he puts you in a situation in your life and he says, okay, you, I want you there. But Lord, I don't want to go there. I don't like feeling uncomfortable. I don't like the inconvenience. I don't like the trials. I want you to go there. David Allen, go there. Right? And you get there, and at 6 o'clock in the evening, and the Lord's all alone, praying, just kind of waiting. 7 o'clock rolls around, 8 o'clock rolls around, 9 o'clock rolls around, 10 o'clock rolls around, 11 o'clock rolls around. It's 12 o'clock, it's midnight, guys. Waves, the sea's contrary, they're afraid. This is going on the whole time. Middle of the night, you can't see shore, you know. There was no lighthouse back then. 1 o'clock in the morning rolls around, things are getting bad, they're getting scared. You know they got to be dead beat by now. Rowing that boat, how many hours? 2 o'clock in the morning? 3 o'clock in the morning? The Lord goes, okay, I think it's time to go take a walk. Okay, pre-point number one is done. Now, pre-point number two. No, just kidding. Now we'll get into the message, and it shouldn't take too awful long here. But basically, I've titled this message simply this, Getting Out of the Ship. Getting out of the ship, or are you ready to walk on water? Right? Are you ready to walk on water? Now, the Lord has constrained you in the ship that you're in life. The Lord has put you in whatever situation that you're in, and he just kind of sat there for a little bit. Now, remember, he sat you there about 6 o'clock in the evening, 7, 8 maybe, whatever time it was. But it was in the evening. And then the Lord just kind of let you sit there for a while and worry about the waves. And he did that for a reason. It's not because he wanted to make you afraid. It's because he knew that you needed that little prod to kind of get you thinking in the right manner. So, like I said, I don't know what your ship is exactly right now, what you're going through, but I know this. I know the Lord's constrained to put you there. And in order to get out of the ship, there's three simple things that you got to do. And that's the point of the message here this morning. All right, you've been constrained, you've been put in the ship in life and whatever circumstances you're in, and the truth of the matter is, in some ways, you want to get out of that ship. But there's three simple things you need to do. Take a look down at verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. Well, that didn't help much. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee." He said, "Lord, if it be thou." All right, so the Lord's constrained you in your ship of life that you're in right here. And in order to get out of this ship, there's three simple things that you have to be. And the first one of those things is just simply this. You need to be interested in getting out of that ship. Now, that sounds kind of elementary and kind of stupid, but have you ever wondered what the Lord has in store for you? And this is where that question comes back in. Where are you going to be 3 months from now? 3 years from now? I know where you're going to be 300 years from now if you're saved. I know where you're going to be 300 now, years from now if you're lost, if you don't change that. But that's another story. That's something for you to really think about. But 3 months from now, 3 years from now, where are you going to be? See, the Lord's got you in the ship, and the whole idea is for you to get out of the ship and walk on water. I mean, what does the Lord have in store for you? What does he have you in the ship so that he can mold you into? Listen, are you the least bit curious of what the Lord can do with you? I mean, young people, you know, we talk to you about this all the time, but even as you old fogies, the older folks and everybody in between, right? Is that politically correct? Probably not. I'm approaching old foginess, so that's okay. Listen, even older folks, you ever sit back? Are you interested in what the Lord's trying to get you to do next? You see, that's the first step in getting out of the ship. I mean, the reason why the waves are going, the Lord could have left the sea calm, no wind, beautiful night, full moon, great stars. And you know what the disciples would have been doing? Kick back, feeling the gentle sway of the breeze, looking at the stars, hands behind their head. They would have had no interest at all in getting out of that ship. You understand that? The Lord makes it too easy on us. We don't like pain. We're not going to get out of the ship. It's wet out there. I'm dry in the ship. But if that wind kicks up and those waves are big and that ship looks like it's going to sink, you know what? It's designed to give you an interest to get out of that ship. So what's the Lord going to do with you? 3 months from now, how are you going to be serving God? Where are you going to be at? What are you going to be doing? 3 years from now, right? 10 years from now. The first step in getting out of the ship is you got to show a little bit of interest. Peter and those disciples were in that ship, and the waves were going, and the storm was kicked up. And you know what? They definitely had an interest about getting out of that ship. And they were afraid. And they saw this thing walking on the water. That doesn't normally happen. And they were terrified. And the Lord gives them just a little bit of glimmer of hope. Just enough to where they can kind of see it, just barely. He says, "Don't be afraid, it's me." And when Peter heard that, listen, he was interested. "Okay, Lord, if it be thou," he said, "if it's you, get me out of this mess." Hey, simply, are you interested in getting out of the ship? Listen, if you're lost here this morning, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, the Lord has you in this ship of life. You didn't ask to be here. It wasn't your choice to be born. You were in a lot of ways constrained to be here in this life. Now, the Lord's given you a lot of blessings and a lot of, a lot of chances and opportunities to serve Him and to seek Him out. And the Lord desires for you to seek Him out. So He throws you in this little ship. He constrains you into this ship in your life. And you've got to ask yourself the question, are you interested in getting out? Now, we meet a whole lot of people who are not interested at all in what the Lord has in store for them. You knock on the door, you talk to them, you talk to somebody at work, you give a tract to somebody at the grocery store, whatever. And, you know, their response is just a very nonchalant, How many tracts you see thrown on the ground after you hand them out? I don't care about this. Listen. The Lord puts you in this life and puts you in this ship and takes you through some of the trials because He's trying to get your attention so that you'd at least be interested in what He has to offer. And Christian, you know, the Lord's got something bigger and better for you in store. In 1 Samuel 20, David's fleeing from Saul, and he's having a hard time, and obviously he's in a ship that's not very fun to be in right now. And he says this in 1 Samuel 20, verse 1. He says, David fled from Naoth of Ramah, and it came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?" I mean, David got thrown in the middle of this. All of a sudden, Saul's out to kill him, and David hasn't a clue what's going on. A little bit later, in 1 Samuel 22, David departed. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, because he became captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, "Let my father and my people, I pray thee, come forth and be with you." And then he said this, "Till I know what God will do for me." You know, the first step to getting out of that ship and walking on water is you've got to be interested. You've got to take an active interest and say, "Okay, Lord, what can you do with me?" You know, maybe you're in the ship and they were thinking, "There's no way I can swim to shore." Okay, maybe not. Maybe you don't think you're capable. But what can the Lord do with you? What can the Lord do with you? You know what He wants? He wants you just to be interested. Where will you be in 3 years? Listen, if you don't take an interest in getting out of that ship, you know what happens? The waves keep going, the ship eventually sinks, and you drown. Now, if you're lost and you don't show that interest, that means in this life, nothing happens, you die, you wind up going to hell. Wow. That's not a very good way to get out of the ship. If you're saved, the ship goes down, you sink, your Christian life is over, and you missed walking on the water. You missed walking on the water. Listen, the fears grow in that ship, the storms grow, the ship sinks, the occupants are drowned, and 300 years from now, if you're lost, you're in hell, just starting eternity. What a thought. Remember, in all those occasions, the Lord constrained David into that little bout that he had. He constrained those disciples to be on that ship. Listen, he knew what he was doing. What does it take to get out of the ship? First off, it takes you being interested in what the Lord's going to do with you and where He's going to take you next. All right, second thing, what does it take to get out of the ship? Take a look down in verse 28. First thing is you have to be interested. Second thing, verse 28, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, he said, bid me come unto thee on the water." He said, "Bid me come unto thee on the water." The second thing is just simply this. Folks, you got to be willing to take that step. I mean, not only, how many people do you meet, you knock on the door, you talk to them, they show a little bit of interest, but then when it comes time to actually do something with what they're interested in, they chicken out. You know what Peter says? Peter stands up and he says, now, he's the only one, by the way. Now, listen, every one of those disciples could have said the same thing. They could have all gotten out of that ship together and walked, at least for a little ways, on the water. But brethren, what's the Lord going to do with you? He's got you in the ship. The waves are boisterous, right? The wind is contrary. This life down here gets to be a mess. Okay, what does it take to get you out of the ship? You got to be interested. And then you know what? You got to be willing. You got to be willing. The Lord loves a willing heart. Okay, Lord, what do you have for me? I'll do it. You got to be willing. Peter says, Peter says, bid me come unto thee on the water. Listen. Lord ever dealt with you about being a Sunday school teacher? A janitor? A pastor? A missionary? How about just more faithful in your Christian life? How about a better husband? A better wife? How about a better Christian? How about just a helper of, you know, fill in the blank? A leader of fill in the blank? You know, you just got to make that decision. You got to be interested in finding out what the Lord has for you first. And then you just have to be willing. You got to be willing. Just take that step. It's a major factor. Listen, Peter's in the ship, like I said, with several other disciples, and any one of them could have tried to walk on the water, but it was Peter. Was he scared? Absolutely. Absolutely. Was he unsure of what was going to happen? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You ever been on a ship in big waves? You ever been in the middle of life in the big waves? Sometimes taking that first step is pretty rough. It's scary. I mean, you're interested in getting out of the ship, but you got to be willing to take that step. Back in Daniel chapter 6, you got all the presidents of the kingdoms and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together, and they established this decree and that whosoever shall ask any petition of God, of man, for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. You remember the story. Daniel in the lion's den. Right? What does Daniel do? Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open and his chambers towards Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel's in the ship. Right? Political circumstances are not in his favor. And he thinks, hey, listen, I'm interested in serving God anyway. And I'm willing to do what's right in spite of the consequences. And I don't know what Daniel was thinking. Remember, Daniel and the king, they're kind of close. They're kind of close. I've told you the story before, but talking about taking that step. A couple years ago, I was scheduled to do this a big dive in Lake Superior. It's like a 250-foot dive, right? I had a lot of interest in shipwrecks. I always thought, this is really cool. I want to go down there and see shipwrecks that nobody's, you know, very few people have seen before. And so I had the interest. And for all of my interest, I had the training. I trained, I practiced, I did all the skills over and over and over again. And I had an interest in the technical challenges of doing the dive. And I had an interest in the satisfaction that would come from, you know, putting all those things together and actually being successful. And I got on the boat. We headed out to Isle Royal up in Lake Superior. And I got to the back of the boat. And at this time, I had two tanks on my back, so doubles. I had another big tank that I'd slung on my right side, so that's three. I had two other tanks slung on my left side, that's five. And I had one extra small tank in the back that was for my dry. I had six scuba tanks on. Now, each of those scuba tanks weighs about, well, the three big ones all weigh about 40 plus pounds each, plus all the other gear. I'm in this crazy suit. I got this hood on, got the mask on. I got six tanks sitting on there. And I've never dove 250 feet before. And that's a long way down to that shipwreck. And I go out and I step on the back of this boat and I got all these tanks on and I'm standing there and you bet I'm scared. Oh yeah. Because there's so many different things that can go wrong. And all the training and all the planning and all this stuff, I'm scared. And you know what you got to do? I mean, I had to get out there. I had to get out there on the edge of that boat with all these tanks on, which is a chore in and of itself. And I actually had to grab my mask so that it doesn't fly off when you jump in the water, hold my regulator in, And I actually had to do a giant stride entry, big flippers, whoosh, and take that first step with all those tanks to do a 250-foot dive. You say, what's the Lord going to do with you? I don't know what the Lord's going to do with you. I don't know what the Lord's going to do with me. But I know this. I know that being in the ship is not where the Lord wants us to stay. And I also know this, that there's a lot of fear and a lot of turmoil associated with taking that first step to get out of that ship. Listen, if you're lost here this morning, you can be interested in God. You can have an interest in heaven. You can be interested in escaping hell. But unless you're willing to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and actually just take that step, you'll never get out of the ship. And Christian, as crazy as life gets, as crazy as life seems, as bad as it can be, as afraid as you can be sometimes about what's going to happen next in your life, you still got it. You're in a position. The Lord put you there. He constrained you there. He did it on purpose. And He wants you to take that step. He wants you to take that step. Listen, Daniel was not only interested in serving his God, but listen, he was willing to face whatever it took to serve his God. Amen? He was just willing to face whatever it took to serve his God. Peter was in that ship, and he was willing. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Through all that stuff, Peter stood up, and you understand, he was not only interested in getting out of the ship, but he was willing, okay, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand this. 30 seconds ago, I thought you were a spirit, and you terrified me to death, but if you say it's you, if you say this is you, and you tell me to come out there and walk out there to you, I'll take the step and I'll walk. What a blessing, man. You want to get victory in the Christian life? Show an interest in what the Lord has for you. And number two, just be willing to take a step. Don't worry about what you're cumbered down with. Don't worry about how much stuff you got on your back. Don't worry about how much, you know, I told you about the tanks, right? I think they weigh, you know, right at 40 pounds apiece. So I got 3 40-pound tanks. The other ones are a little less than that. But I got a total of 6 tanks on me. Plus, actually, some weights. Plus reels. Plus all my other gear. Plus regulators. All this stuff. You know how much weight I had on me to jump off the back of that ship? Listen, that's the way life is. You know how much weight you have on you in life sometimes? And you try to stand up to get on the back of that boat, and it's tough. I mean, you know, it's a challenge. You got to carry that weight. And that weight is heavy. You don't want to walk around all day with that stuff on. So, but you know what? When I took that step and jumped off into that water, all those tanks, they kind of float. I couldn't wait to get back in the water. You understand the weight? The weight was removed. I mean, it was still there. Those tanks were still attached. But when I actually got out of the ship, all that weight was gone. It was neutrally buoyant in scuba diving terms. Okay? What a blessing, man, to be I mean, to go from 200 pounds of gear on your back to neutrally buoyant. Oh, that felt good. And listen, that's what the Lord will do for you. That's exactly what the Lord will do for you. If you're interested in what He's got for you. And then if you're willing to just take that step. But you don't get neutrally buoyant until you take that step and get in the water. It's scary to take that step, I'll admit. But it is worth it. Oh, I'd much rather be in the water with all those tanks than on dry land. So Daniel was interested, and he was willing to do whatever it took. And he goes up to his room and he prays just like he did always. And you know the story. They, you know, they set him up. And they hauled him before the king. But the point is, Peter was willing to take that step and step out of that ship. Daniel was willing to take that step and sit down and pray like he always had, irregardless of the consequences. Are you willing to take that step? Whatever it is. Like I said, Sunday school teacher, janitor, better Christian, better husband, better wife, better son, better daughter. Whatever the step is. You know, whatever you're in the ship for, are you willing to take that step? In order to get out of the ship, you've got to be interested. And second, you've got to be willing. And finally, as we wrap things up here, let's take a look back in Matthew 14. Take a look down. We just read verse 28. Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee under the on the water." And verse 29 says this, "And he said, Come." Yeah, easy for you to say, Lord. "And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." He walked on the water to go to Jesus. "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Listen, the title of this message is just getting out of the ship. And that is, the question is, you know, where are you going to be 3 months from now? 3 years from now? 300 years from now? But the Lord's constrained you, right? The Lord's constrained you and put you in whatever situation you're in. And he puts you in that situation at, you know, 6 o'clock in the evening. And then he goes, kicks back on the shore for a while. Maybe has a glass of iced tea, sitting back and just waiting for the wind to do its job. The boisterous wind. Or the contrary wind, the boisterous waves, right? He's just waiting for that stuff to do its job. And he lets you set 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2. He goes, yep, okay, I think the pressure cooker is about ready to blow. They're ready. And then he goes walking on the water and terrifies them even a little bit more until they show an interest in getting out of that ship. And then he thinks to himself, ah, I got him. I got him. And then Peter asks the question, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come out to thee on the water. And the Lord goes, ooh, there's some promise there. I wonder if he's willing to actually take that step. Okay, Pete, come on out. Okay, boys, here it goes. You take that step, and you know what? You get those tanks are neutrally buoyant. The weight's lifted off, and it's so much better. Just from taking the step. It is so much better. So you got to be interested, you got to be willing, and the third thing is just simply this: you got to be ready to get out of the ship. You got to be ready to get out of the ship, and you got to be ready for when you get out of the ship. That is, you got to actually take the step. You got to be willing, and you know, Peter could have been interested and willing, and then said, "Okay, Lord, but let me wait till the waves die down a little bit." You know, he could have said, Lord, I'll get out of the ship, but why don't you come over here and hold my hand as I do it, because I'm not so sure about this whole thing. Right? He could have looked back at the other disciples and said, hey, guys, I'm not sure if I can do this alone. Why don't you come with me? He could have done a lot of things. But listen, he took that step. He stepped out of that ship. And you know what you got to be ready for? You got to be ready for what's going to happen when you step out of that ship. Because something's going to happen. Right? Now, I did, I wound up doing like three dives on that ship up in Lake Superior. And it wasn't the first dive. I think it was the second dive. Got all my tanks on. Oh, heavy. All the weight. Now, I've done this before. Right? Step off. Ah, tanks. Neutrally buoyant. Weights off my shoulders. Life is good. This is great. Went down, dove, come back up. Right? Wait for a little while, get all ready to go again. I'm out here ready to go again. I'm thinking to myself, I got this. I got this. All the tanks on the back of the ship, ready to go. All this weight. I know what's going to happen already. The tanks are going to be neutrally buoyant. I'm going to feel good. Life is going to be great. I step off the ship, whoosh, and then I realize I forgot to put my fins on. I've got 6 scuba tanks on. I'm in a dry suit. I'm in the water, the cold water. I don't know if you guys have ever had the pleasure of trying to move in the water in a dry suit without fins. But even with no tanks, you can't move in the water without your fins. I had 6 tanks. I was like, I came up. Fortunately, I was buoyant. I was floated to the surface. I'm going, I can't get anywhere. No. What's going on here? Hey, guys. I start trying to swim over to the boat. And I'm only from, how far can you step? From here to there? All right, away from the boat. I'm like, get back to the boat. I got my head above the water. I'm going, hey, Ken, I forgot my fins. He was the captain of the boat. You want to talk about taking a ribbing? Yeah. I was comforted to know that I'm not the first person that's ever done that. But listen, you got to be interested in what the Lord's going to do with you. You got to actually take an interest. Okay, Lord, what can I do? And then you got to be willing to take that step. And then you know what? You got to be ready for what happens. You just got to be ready. I mean, Peter got out there and he takes that step, and things for an instant are going great. And then that fear kicks up again. Oh yeah, you jump off the boat with no fins, and that'll get your attention real quick. That fear, you got to be ready for what happens. And Peter gets in the middle of that, and all of a sudden he's not so sure that stepping out of the boat was the right idea, because he's starting to sink. But the Lord is good. I love that word in this passage. And immediately. Amen? And immediately. You know what you can count on? No matter how afraid you are, no matter what the obstacles seem like, no matter how bad your ship is right now, no matter how bad the waves are, the winds, all that kind of stuff, listen, if you're interested in what the Lord can do with you, that's step number one. If you're willing, you take that step. And you can rest assured that when anything happens along the way, the Lord's going to be right there, right when you need Him. He wasn't going to let Peter drown in the water. Now, I don't know how far Peter sunk. Maybe up to his ankles, maybe up to his knees, maybe up to his waist. You know, it may be different for each one of you. You know, sometimes the Lord just needs to get our attention. But immediately, the Lord reaches out and says, I gotcha. You were interested. You were willing. You took that step. Now I'm here to carry you along the way. What a blessing that is. Amen? Getting out of the ship. Getting out of the ship. Or are you ready to walk on water? 3 simple things that you need. You got to know, number one, whatever you're in, whatever circumstances you're in, whatever ship you're in, the Lord has constrained you there. I mean, He put you there, right? Maybe you added some extra problems to the mix by your own decisions. That's possible, you know, quite probable, really. That's what we normally do as humans. But the Lord's put you there. He's put you in the ship. And He wants you to get out of the ship. Getting out of the ship. What do you got to do? Right? Now, maybe you're at a place where your ship is on a calm lake. And life is going good. And the moon's out and the stars are out and you're kicked back enjoying the boat ride. But the Lord still wants you to get out of the ship. Still got something for you that's better out of the ship than in the ship. Don't wait till the waves start for him to convince you of that. Right? And ask yourself, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do next? You got to show some interest in what he wants. You got to be willing to take that step. And then you just got to be ready. You just got to be ready for what happens. If you're lost here, and then I'll finish up here, I'll close down. But if you're lost here this morning, listen, that same principle applies to you. But your soul in eternity is at stake. For a Christian, it's like fellowship and what's the Lord going to do with me next? And there's a lot of things, but you know, our eternity is settled in heaven already because we're saved. But if you're here this morning and you're not saved, if you're lost, listen, you're in a ship where your soul's eternity is at stake. And 300 years from now, you're going to be in heaven or hell. And you need to take that step to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then you can worry about whatever ship he puts you in later to help you grow. But salvation is the first step. Christians, I don't know how long we have till the Lord comes back. But I wonder, where are we going to be in 3 months? What are we going to be doing? How about 3 years? How about 10 years? If the Lord tarries that long. Tell you what, I want to step out of the ship and be in a better place than where I am now. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we are a needy and a grateful people. Lord, you've been so good to us over the years. You have blessed us. You've taken care of us. Father, you've never let us down. You have always been there for us. And the truth of the matter is, Father, any step that we've taken, even if we weren't quite ready, as Peter wasn't fully ready, you were immediately there. You reached out your hand. And Lord, you picked us up. Lord, it's always the right thing to do to serve you and to follow you. And I pray that you deal with each and every one of us about how we can do that better. Help us to have the faith that we need to have. Help us to be interested in what you have for us, to be willing to take that step, and Father, to be ready for whatever happens. And I just ask now that you bless the rest of the day. You bless these folks for being here. Bless the services coming up tonight. And Father, we just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals. Let's turn to number 257. Number 257. folks, once again, thank you for being here this morning. Remember, prayer meetings this evening at 5:30. I believe Brother Dave will be preaching tonight.
Yep.
So Brother Dave will be preaching tonight. Hopefully you'll see you back here then. I think I've got to be at work, unfortunately, but you guys will all be here, right? Amen. All right. You can be dismissed and see you this evening.